Hi, this is Kevin from the Magic Our Way podcast, and you're listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast, two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Welcome to the Two Bobs.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. And you're listening to episode 25 for Monday, July 3rd, 2017.
We got a great show for us.
This week we're going to talk about the beer we're drinking. We had a brief brush with fame.
I think this is grasshopper.
It's gross. We're going to talk about grasshoppers. Fucking grasshoppers. Because, you know, why not? Why not? Why not?
We're going to talk about grasshoppers and the gross shit they do at the office. And, of course, crazy news story.
This is why we need to do this at the beginning of the episode.
That's good. That's good.
I had grasshopper.
That's fine. We'll talk about the gross things people do at the office. And, of course, a crazy news story.
I'm looking at a picture of a fucking nasty toe. Sorry.
Oh, you're skipping ahead.
I know. Sorry. My bad. I try to preload the websites and half the time I end up accidentally closing them out, but at least I try to have what we're going to be talking about up there. Not to give away the fact that we're going to talk about the toe yet.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. So 4th of July is coming up.
Yes, sir. It's tomorrow. The birth of our nation, 1776. So how many years is that? We shouldn't even bother. You're the math guy.
412.
Okay, good enough. Close.
Wrong.
Listen, my employer gives me a calculator.
That's true.
I don't need to know brain math, okay?
I don't know how old I am without doing the math, so I'm not going to do it. You got any plans?
We're going to my in-law's house to celebrate the 4th as well as my brother-in-law's birthday. So his birthday is on the 7th, and we're just going to do it all in one shot.
Yeah.
Close enough. We're all going to be together anyways. We might as well have cake.
Okay. We're going to try to go to the Nats game on Monday. So I wanted to go on the actual 4th, but I'm not sure I want to fight DC on that day. And it'll be a night game. Well, it's a 6 o'clock game on Monday. So they'll do fireworks after at the stadium anyway. So hopefully that'll be good.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the Tigers. It upsets me.
I don't want to talk about the Nationals either. We lost our guy for a couple of weeks, got hit in the hand with a pitch, and they're saying 8 to 10 weeks or 10 to 12, something like that. So it sucks.
Well, at least he'll be back. The Tigers
won't be back. Maybe next season.
The Tigers are the Tigers. Latest rumors are Justin Verlander's on the chopping block. And I was talking to some guys at work about it, not to get into the Tigers because it's not on our list of things we're supposed to talk about today, but that's all right. I was talking to some guys at work about it, and the general consensus is we like Justin Verlander, but, I mean, his contract's something around $30 million a year. We'll eat a little bit. We'll eat a little bit of it by, you know, unloading him early because I think he still has 3 years left on his contract.
Yeah.
But it's going to free up some money. I'm really hoping we can just get a sweet, sweet deal out of whoever we get for him. Because there's some teams out there that need an opener right now, and he's one of the best out there. So yeah.
Well, even in some of the clubs like the Dodgers have been named, the Astros. So even those teams that are, I mean, they're just killing everybody. Even if they can set themselves a little bit more ahead of where they actually are, then they're pretty much untouchable. So, you know, if that happens, I don't know that we don't see an Astros-Dodgers World Series.
I don't think any of us would like that, though.
No, it would suck, but oh well. We got to fix our bullpen, and then, you know, hopefully that'll get us over the hump.
Yeah, you guys do need a closer. Oh, wait, no, you guys got Fernando Rodriguez.
Nah, luckily they sent him to the minors, so I don't know.
Do they?
It seems like they're getting a lot of retreads and guys, I guess, that they can figure out and see if they're going to be anything and then eventually just dump them if they're not. But see what he's made of and see if he'll, you know, see if his stuff looks good. And who knows? A change of scenery might do him something.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully I don't know. He was a big deal. He was the next biggest thing in our closing our closing lineup when we got him, and he just never performed as a Tiger. So maybe putting on a different jersey will bode better for him, but who knows?
I do know something, though. I'm thirsty.
Hey, I want some beer.
Get on with this. We got two to fit in, so I like to roll. Yeah. I like to jump.
Now, do you have two different beers or two of the same?
No, I did what I told you to do, to have two of the same. So I went ahead with the intention this time of getting two of the same. So it was actually a listener recommendation that I got. So I grabbed two at the store and I'm ready.
You want to go first this week? Special treat?
I'm not sure if I know how, but let me get the website.
Okay, you're all out of sorts. Oh my God, that's not how the lineup is. You want me to go first?
No, I'll take it. I'm drinking. Well, I've already started drinking. This is a Cigar City Brewing High Ally India Pale Ale that was recommended to us by a listener, Lori, which is one of the three, at least one of the three that we know. And this is an IPA, and it's a regular release, so it's out all the time, which I thought it might be kind of summary based on High Ally, but not so much. But it says, High Ally, a game native to the Basque region of Spain, is played on a court called a fronton. High Ally players attempt to catch a ball using a curved mitt, whilst the ball travels at speeds up to 188 miles per hour. Proving they can have a sense of humor, the Spanish dubbed this game, with this ball traveling at race car speeds, the Merry Game. Tampa was once home to a bustling High Ally fronton, but sadly, all that remains of High Ally in the Tampa Bay area is this India Pale Ale that we brew in tribute to the Merry Game. The India Pale Ale style of beer has its roots in the ales sent from England to thirsty British troops in India during the 18th century. Pair High Ally India Pale Ale with beef empanadas, deviled crabs, and other spicy dishes. I don't know. I don't know why I was thinking the High Ally for me was almost like a Hawaiian type sound to it, but I guess it's a game. It shows my stupidity. Did you know what High Ally was, though?
Yeah, it's a game they play in Florida. 188 miles per hour. I don't know how you didn't know this.
Everybody knows that.
I'm actually president of my local High Ally chapter here in Southeast Michigan.
You're a high liar. All right, I'm going to try this. That's good. It's very, and it actually doesn't have, oh, there it is. IBUs are 70. So you notice it. Yeah. You notice it right away.
Hoppy is fun.
Alcohol by volume is 7.5%. IBUs are 70. Tasting notes, an intense bouquet of tangerine. And I noticed that candied orange peel entice the nose, while flavors of clementines, Valencia orange, and subtle caramel provide counterpoint to an assertive bitterness and rich malt character. Bold hop flavor and aroma with six different hop varietals in front. My mouth is watering because it tastes good. Bold hop flavor and aroma with six different hop varietals in front and center. Bold hop flavor and aroma from six different... Bold hop flavor and aroma from six different hop varietals is front and center in this flavorful American IPA. So Rate Beer gave it a 99 overall, and Beer Advocate gave it an A-. So 2010 and 2011 Best Florida Beer Medal Champion. So I'm glad it was suggested. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. Appreciate it. Anybody else who has any suggestions, please send them in.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
We're all ears. What do you got over there? Something with chocolate in it, I hope?
Well, you know me. I like the dark stuff. All right, so what I have here is a CEO Stout by Right Brain Brew. What I have here is a CEO Stout by Right Brain Brewery out of Traverse City, Michigan. And it is a coffee stout. And what it says is a bit of mad science, a little sorcery, and a lot of love. That's what goes into CEO Stout. It's one of Right Brain Brewery's oldest and most cherished recipes. Not to mention a top fan favorite. CEO stands for, not chief executive officer, but chocolate, espresso, and oatmeal. These three elements and some other stuff combined to form an American-style stout that is dark-bodied and complex, yet surprisingly sessionable. It is brewed with locally roasted coffee beans, and you're supposed to drink it fresh, according to this. It's 5.5% alcohol by volume. Comes in a 16-ounce can, so it's a tall can that I have here, which is why I couldn't put the whole can in the glass here. But it also comes in a deuce bottle, and you can find it on draft as well. But it's light bodied. You can definitely taste some coffee notes in here, apparently. So I'm gonna try it right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on Untappd, and it says this full bodied chocolatey American style stout gets its big flavor from French roasted Brazilian, and I don't know what that is, coffee beans. No extracts involved. So it's, I guess, got real coffee, and they have a nitro version of it too, I see. I don't know that. Well, it says 26 minutes ago somebody was drinking it.
Damn.
See?
They have a couple different, they have a peanut butter CEO stout. They also have a pumpkin spice CEO stout, a barrel aged CEO. They have an imperial as well, which comes in a bottle and a 22-ounce bottle, and it's 9.6% alcohol by volume. Yeah, it's good. You can definitely taste the coffee in it as well as some chocolate. So it's kind of has kind of a, I don't know, kind of a mocha type of taste to it.
When I picked up the Hi-Li over there at Norm's, I also picked up the Wells Double Chocolate that you had the other week. So
I'm gonna try that
probably after the show. I told Melissa not to touch it, and I'll be up there in a little while, and we'll share it.
It'd be pretty funny though if you went up there and it was just fucking gone. Like she downed it. They have a lot of really good tasting beers at this place. If I'm ever up in Traverse City, I might have to stop in.
I would do it. Yeah, we've got a lot of nice breweries around here too. I just need to get over to them. And this past week, I was at the local brew festival, and there's quite a bit that were there that I didn't know were had existed, or some that I had, or a couple of them that I looked and go, I think I've had that. And a couple, you know, it turns out that I had them in the refrigerator. So I need to get out and visit a couple of these places and try some of their stuff that you really can't get in a store. And hopefully there'll be one in there that's a new favorite.
I know you were at the beer festival last weekend, and I saw some of the pictures. Hopefully the people that follow the show saw some of the pictures you were posting on there of you downing beers and with, you know, random people. But you met some pretty cool people there. Why don't you tell us about that?
Melissa and I were there talking, and I saw somebody walk by, and I said, hey, I think that's Oscar. And she thought, well, Oscar who? And
the Grouch. No.
No, not Oscar the Grouch, but Oscar is part of a podcast that actually had their studio here in the area near where I live. So it came from a morning show that used to be on, and Mike O'Mara started his own podcast that was actually suggested by Oscar, who is part of another podcast, another radio show. We happened to see him walk by and then went to go over to talk to him. And before we left, Melissa said, oh, I want to get a picture. So we got the picture, and that's what we posted on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. So anyhow, so once that's posted, I tagged him in there. And so one of his friends is a local DC newscaster whose name is Tony Perkins. And Tony is a friend of the Mike O'Mara show. So Tony saw the picture and then commented to us on Twitter about one of our previous episode show art that we had. It was the one with the tattoos. He said it looks like a Nils Lofgren album art.
So if you're wondering who Nils Lofgren is, so he's a guitarist and he's a member of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. So it's kind of a big deal. I mean, it's Bruce, right?
Yeah, it's Bruce Springsteen, and he's a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so Tony retweets us and shows a picture of our album art from the tattoo episode, and then puts it in a picture side by side with a Nils Lofgren album. And so this is what it reminds him of. Well, probably 15, 20 minutes later, Nils Lofgren likes the tweet that he posted, and then retweets it, and then follows the two Bobs. So we're practically famous.
I mean, we're practically friends with Bruce Springsteen at this point.
Maybe we'll get him on a show one day. We'll have to tell him about our phone number and he'll call in.
Oh, shit. If that would ever happen. My father-in-law is a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. So like if you go in his car, he has Sirius Radio, and it
They have probably Bruce Springsteen channel, right?
Yeah, there's a dedicated Bruce Springsteen channel, and it's probably on whenever you go into his car. But I mean, they've gone on vacations centered around going to Bruce Springsteen concerts and things like that. So, you know, of course I kind of told him about it too, and I'm like, hey, look at this.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, it's funny because in doing this, and we just hope to continue to grow the show, but then you have, if you've ever seen anybody famous really at a distance, that's kind of what it was. But at the same time, it was pretty cool because with Twitter, you know, he actually interacted with the tweet and followed the two Bobs and retweeted the tweet that came from Tony. So it was just really kind of a cool brush with somebody who's really high up there in the rock and roll industry.
Did I ever tell you that I very briefly met Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band?
I think it was when you worked at the Palace of Auburn Hills, or one of the place you were at a couple weeks ago for Dave Matthews.
Yeah, so it was about 10 years ago. I was working at the Palace, and it's funny because, you know, we'd get kind of every once in a while we get a call for like a special assignment, and you know, the tour security needs somebody at 8 a.m. and they won't tell us what it's for, but they need somebody. Do you want to sign up for it? I'm like, okay. Well, half the time it was you're staring at a wall in an empty room for some reason, and then half the time it was something kind of cool. So this turned out to be a little bit of both, because I show up at 8 a.m. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band are performing at the Palace that night. They're staged, so there's like a stage, and then there's like a step up that's probably about 6 feet, and then there's like another stage behind that that's higher up. Well, part of it was for the performance, but part of it also was because they had a bunch of stuff under the stage. So they had like a room under the stage that had their guitars and things like that. The band entered and left the stage from that area and stuff like that. So anyway, it's 8 a.m. I get over there. There's just a chair sitting next to an opening into a little part, like a separated room under the stage. And I'm told, you sit right there. So I'm sitting right there, little time, you know, a little ways, you know, later, a couple hours later, whatever. Some people come over. It's Bruce's guitar tech, and he says, "Hey, listen." He goes, "I'm putting Bruce's and the band's. These are Bruce's guitars right here. Your job is to make sure that nobody except me or Bruce Springsteen touches those guitars at any moment." And then there was another rack, and he goes, "Okay, this is for the E Street Band. Your job is to make sure that nobody other than the E Street Band or me touch those guitars."
No way.
And I was thinking, well, what if Bruce wants to touch those guitars? Do I stop him? Do I tackle him down to the ground? You know what? But anyway, fast forward hours, because this show started at 8 p.m. I started at 8 a.m. I'm just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there under a stage staring at guitars and like, you know, some equipment that they use to tune the guitars and things like that. But then the show goes to start, though, and all of a sudden I look over. Bruce Springsteen is standing right there next to me. He said hi, you know, introduced himself real quick. He gave me a guitar pick that he actually later on, I should say, he gave me a guitar pick that he actually used on stage. So I have a Bruce Springsteen guitar pick, which is pretty cool. Then the band came over and they were just, you know, just chit-chatting real quick. They, you know, just shook my hand and stuff like that. It was pretty cool. I think that they're very famous but very down-to-earth people, so yeah. I think they appreciated the fact that I had been sitting there all day watching their fucking guitars with nobody else anywhere in the vicinity, because it's not like it's not hustle and bustle all day long.
Yeah.
It's set the stage up. Everybody leaves for the day, leaves me there by myself with the guitars and nobody else in the building, and then they come, you know, shortly before the show to do their sound check and stuff like that. So it was a very cool experience. It was one of many really cool experiences that I had working security over there, but definitely a memorable thing. I mean, meeting Bruce Springsteen is it's a big deal.
That's pretty cool. So, and then it was Clarence Clemons there too? Was he? Because I know he's gone, but what, I guess would he have still been alive then?
It was probably a dozen, 13, 14 years ago, okay. Maybe.
So he probably was. I saw, you know, going through Nils Lofgren's, you know, his Twitter feed, there was a picture of him and Clarence Clemons. There's a guy at work who's a big Bruce Springsteen fan, and he was telling me, he said that he was really short, you know, Nils Lofgren was. And I don't know anything, you know, about how tall he is. You just see pictures and you've got no way to compare. But on his Twitter feed, I saw him next to Clarence Clemons, and he's probably half his size. I mean, it's unbelievable the size difference. Like, oh, well, I guess he is small.
One thing you'll realize is that a lot of superstars in the rock and roll industry are very small people.
Well, Prince, I think, was short.
Prince was very small. Mick Jagger is very small.
Well, I'm a huge Cure fan, and I was very surprised to hear that Robert Smith is probably like 5'7", 5'8", and that's...
Yeah, they're very, you know, tiny.
That's
people.
Melissa's height, so I'm thinking, well, that's weird. If I were to meet him, you know, would I be taller or shorter? And, you know, you just imagine these people are going to be a certain way, and kind of like when we talked about it in episode one, hearing each other for the first time, you have these visions in your head of what it's going to be like, and then if you were to meet some of these people and realize as tall as we are, as short as they are, any, you know, it just, I don't know how I would react in that situation. I think I would just get over it, but you got that opportunity.
I did, and again, it paid like $8 an hour. You know, you were working sometimes late at night because, you know, these shows could go till 11 o'clock sometimes later, but it was just being a guy in his 20s who is really just not completely serious about career at that point. Like in my young 20s, I'm just like, hey, this is such a cool job, especially when I was still living at home with my parents and $8 an hour. It got me by.
Yeah. And you've got nothing but time at that point, too. You know, it's not like you've got Kelly waiting at home for you or the kids that are looking for you. Yeah. I mean, the one thing that kind of hits me is, too, is that back then, if it was that long ago, we're at the 10-year mark of the iPhone. You wouldn't have had a phone to sit there and pass time. You're not playing Angry Birds, or I play the hell out of Madden on my phone. There, you wouldn't have had that. So you would have had to have something to do. But, basically staring at the wall at that point.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is even today, if you were in that position,
you're still bored.
Well, yeah, they'd fucking kill you if you had your phone out. I'm sure you keep your phone in your locker. Even I had a cell phone. It was, probably it was probably a flip phone or something like that. It definitely wasn't a smartphone at the time, but I kept it in my locker nonetheless because, depending on what you were doing that night, sometimes you would get into, altercations that you knew you didn't want to have your phone on you because it might get broken. So,
and that day with all the contracts, and it was just a pain in the ass to change phones. And now they do so much more, and it's easier to switch them.
Yeah, now if I don't like Verizon, I say fuck you and go somewhere else, and I take my phone with me. It's nice. I'm not indebted to them.
Not at all.
No, I'm not leaving them, but they're doing all right by me.
I've thought about it. I keep wanting to go back to AT&T because there are a couple of times where I've had service with Verizon and it was terrible, but I know somebody with AT&T, but I don't know. I've every now and then I'll compare plans, but Verizon's been good to us, so we'll
see. I feel like it's comparing apples and oranges sometimes. Like, it depends where you are. I think it's six of one, half dozen of the other over here between Verizon and AT&T, so I don't know if I'd get a life-changing experience by switching over. And then I got to deal with, because my Kelly's on the plan, obviously,
right?
But my parents are on my plan, and I'm just like, my mom gets all in a tizzy about everything. I'm not gonna deal with that.
It's too hard to change.
Change is hard.
I think over the last couple of episodes, we've been having a lot of fun with lists. So we've got another list this week, something a little bit different, but something very familiar. And I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to it. So we're going to discuss the 16 of the most disgustingly gross things people have seen at work. And I know I've got a few things to share that I will be very vague, so they don't know whether they're current or past, but I'll have a few things to add at the end.
Yeah, me too. I got plenty.
Ah, good.
Actually, it's funny. Now that we bring up the security job, I can make an entire episode of gross shit that I've seen at work working the security job.
Yeah, you're involving drunk people, so there's going to be...
Yeah, a good amount of them I don't even think is appropriate for this show. But a lot of fornication.
Yeah, we push the envelope sometimes. We're careful with it. We're both married and we have kids, so
we're a family show.
We're a yes.
God, I hope not. I hope my kids never listen to this.
Well, people ask about it, and I think I told my mother-in-law at the beginning, but that was before we really started to get a little bit more comfortable and open up a bit. But I said, there's going to be language there, but it's not Howard Stern language.
No, well, more or less. Yeah. But I mean, if you remember the first time I said fuck on the podcast, like the first couple episodes,
every time.
You bleeped it. You were bleeping it. Now it's like, it's like when they try to play a rap song on terrestrial radio and you can't hear half the song because they just can't play those words. It's at some point you just give up and you're like, all right, it's a podcast. Anybody can listen to it. We're not governed by, that's the one of the great things. We live in America, so we can say whatever the hell we want within reason, of course. And there's no entity out there that can tell us that we can't say it. So
yeah,
fuck.
I love that this list has numbers, by the way. I was very excited, and it was part of the reason for going with this list besides anything else. It's got numbers.
It's got, thank you.
If anything else, it's got numbers. The list could be crap.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you.
I am happy for me too. So,
Robert, I'm gonna. I haven't had dinner yet, and I'm drinking this beer.
I already started my second one, by the way. So,
well, hold on a second.
I was getting thirsty, and now I'm bummed because I've had some of it, and my cooler is empty. So, I guess through the magic of editing, I could always run upstairs and grab something else.
The fact that you actually keep a cooler next to you for your beer.
I gotta keep it cold.
I thought about putting my beer fridge down here because it's in the garage right now, and it's like it's a portable.
Oh, it's just this little thing, and I got ice packs.
That's awesome. No, I mean, I have cooler.
It's
I
a six-pack cooler. It's plenty. It's got...
I own coolers, and I own ice packs, so I could do that, but I just kind of bring... I bring all my beers and just set them on the desk in front of me on the table. I don't really.
Well, I know. After all, you know, we spent all that time discussing beers and how the, you know, the temperature, you don't want it as cold, but I still like it cold. So, you know, I've got three ice packs.
I like it
in
cold,
there.
But not super cold. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that because I was listening to something on the. Some sort of advertisement. I think it was a Bud Light or one of those. And they were talking about how it's, you know, served super cold, nothing better than a super almost frozen cold Bud Light. And I'm like, yeah, you got to make it almost frozen so you can't fucking taste it. But anywho, do you want the odd or the even numbers?
I already started. All right, you know,
did we even tell people what we're talking?
I did. 16 of the most disgustingly gross things people have seen at work. This was a listener recommended list, so I figured we'd go ahead and use it. And it sounded like a great idea at the time. So I think you'll go first this time, since I already started first with all the beer. And it was uncomfortable going first. As much as I like to be the alpha in all my interactions, I'll let you go first. Because
you're just doing it so you can be the closer. I'm the warm-up act by taking the odd 16? Numbers.
Okay. Well,
16.
I didn't think that far ahead. I'm not the math guy.
It's okay. Let me grab my calculator. 16 is divided by 2. It's an even number. All right. So, number 1, just in case everybody didn't know, we're talking about gross shit that people have seen at the office. So, okay. Number 1, it's called the false teeth fiasco. My boss had her false teeth fly out while she was speaking to me. She hunted under the disgusting cubicles for the teeth, popped them back in, and continued speaking. It makes me shudder to think what the moist plastic had picked up under the cube. So this lady's teeth fell out of her mouth, went under a dirty cubicle, which I've worked in offices with cubicles, and those things, you know, the vacuum just doesn't get all the way under there.
No.
Picked them up, didn't do anything to clean them off or sanitize them, and just popped them back in her mouth and continued on her merry way.
I'm hoping that never happens to me.
Yeah, that's pretty disgusting. We should rate each one of these on our own disgusting levels from 1 to 10.
1 to 10 is probably a 5.
I'd say it's probably a 5, too. Like, if I had fake teeth, I'd probably mostly clean them. But sometimes in an extenuating circumstance, I might just pop them back in.
Yeah, just pop it back in and keep going.
It's pretty gross. So it's still pretty
gross. It is gross. Number 2, the burpee boss. My boss regularly...
Bob K.
My boss regularly farts and burps out loud in the office without hesitation and with the commentary, that was a wet and smelly one.
Hmm. Have you ever known anybody that does this?
Yes. And
this is proud, takes ownership of their burps and their farts
He didn't necessarily take ownership of it. But I knew somebody that used to sit in his office, and when you walked by, you thought that there was that the office had to be full of just piled dead carcasses. It was so disgusting.
I had a coworker once that would Dutch oven me in my office all the time. He literally, on almost a daily basis, would walk into my office, and I should preface this. There are people listening to this podcast who right now know exactly who I'm talking about. But anyway, he would walk into my office. He would just bust ass and then walk out, but he'd close the door on his way out.
No.
And it would always be in the moment, like when I'm on the phone with a client or I'm busy doing something where I just can't peel myself away from my desk right at that moment to open the door back up. So I'd basically be stuck sitting in there with
no shame,
fart stench.
No,
yeah, he was excited. He was proud of it. He'd go out of his way to make sure when he farted, it was in somebody's direction or in somebody's office.
Now, if that happens at work, I'm like terrified that somebody's going to walk by, even using the men's room. If I go in there after somebody's left and they've done their business and the smell is there, I'm like terrified that somebody's going to think it was me. So like we talked about last week with that truck, you got 4 people standing out there waiting for you to finish. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm terrified if it happens. So no, that's not going to be me.
Number 3. What?
That's you.
No. Yes. No. Yes, it is me.
I'm terrified it's me, and I was going to start.
Fuck.
I thought it was going to be me, and I would do it, and then you'd be like, Robert, that's my turn.
No, you could have done it, and I would have even, I would have gone along with it until I got to number 16 and was like, hey, it's me. Number three, the multi-purpose glasses case.
This one's gross, by the way.
I'm going to say this in the accent of the of where this would be from. I know a bloke who used to leave his desk, go to the toilet, and wank himself off using his glass case as a vag. The issue being he told someone that's what he was doing when, so we all knew. So another, that's Gary Collar likes it. So yeah, so this guy would, in case you didn't understand, if you don't speak British.
I thought that was Australian.
Australia. It's what's a bloke? A bloke?
I think that's Australian.
Maybe. Well, I did it in the wrong accent then.
That's all right. It was terrible.
Fuck, it was. Yeah, I butchered it anyway. I'm not gonna lie. So, in other words, this guy used to take his glasses. He used to jerk it into his glasses case. He would use it as a vagine, and then he told somebody about it, so the whole office knew.
My glasses case is a hard case where it snaps shut. And I meant to bring it down so you could hear
it. Must have been a soft case.
So when I read this, I was thinking it was my glasses case where, you know, it has that, you know, that spring action close. Like, there's no way. One, it's not comfortable. Two, it's going to hurt. So I don't know how you get through it. But then I realized, like, my reading glasses have it's more of like a little sleeve that they go in there. So
what if he finished in there and then put his glasses in there and then put his glasses on his face?
I'm sure that's a little bit farther down the list.
So, I mean, okay, there's some gross shit that happens at the office, but jerking it at the office, really?
No.
You're that guy? You can't wait till you get home at night? What's the world coming to, Robert? You're even. You're the even numbers, so you go next.
Number four, the poop spoon.
Poop spoon.
I clean a professional office building at night, and in the ladies' room in one particular stall, there's someone who picks their nose and wipes it on the wall.
That's gross.
Every day for 3 years.
Oh.
But the really gross and bizarre thing was much worse. Each stall in the ladies' room has those little containers for sanitary disposal with paper bags in them. Opened one up, and sitting right on top was a plastic spoon with poop on it. It was a poop spoon.
Why, though? Why would you...
I know why.
Just let gravity do its job and then use some paper. You don't have to scoop it out. It's not fucking ice cream.
I know why.
Why, though?
Okay.
Why?
No, my guess is that there was no toilet paper in there, and the closest thing that they had was a plastic spoon. Maybe they were eating in there. I don't know. But that's my hunch. My guess is either you're going to use your hand, there's no toilet paper in there. If there's a spoon, maybe somebody left it in there. So we can discuss, you know, food items in the bathroom a little bit later. But that's my guess. I know exactly why, and that's what it is.
I feel the need to talk about a personal experience involving a situation in which there was...
I was going to save them to the end, but you go right ahead.
Well, this one fits specifically into the... And it's not a work thing. This is an experience I had.
I don't need it to be in any order.
I'm opening up to our audience here. You know, I'm making myself vulnerable so that way...
Okay.
You know, for the entertainment of others.
Okay, go ahead.
So this was... I was dating... I wasn't married to Kelly yet. I was dating Kelly... so this was, I don't know, 13, 14 years ago, whatever. It was right. It was the night after the Bruce Springsteen concert. No. So we were on our way down to Myrtle Beach, and we stopped at a McDonald's. I go into the restroom, do my business. I look over, no toilet paper.
See?
So I'm sitting there waiting. I'm like calling, hello, anybody? I even like peeked out to see if there was any paper towel. No hand dryers. That doesn't work. A couple minutes later, I come out of the restroom. I go to the car. Kelly looks and she looks down at my feet and goes, "Where's your socks?" Yep. Wipe my ass with my socks. Put them in the garbage can. So
you didn't have a glasses case, so you used your socks. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't have a glasses case to scrape it off. So I used my socks. I use my socks. No. Listen, I was just being resourceful at the time. What can I offload on my person that I can continue the rest of the day and the rest of this trip without having to rip open a suitcase that is located in a car top carrier on top of my my girlfriend's parents' SUV or van or whatever they were driving at the time, and that's what I came up with. So I wasn't wearing any socks. Funny follow-up.
I don't know
that
I would even come up with that, but that's pretty good.
Just as a joke, then that
there's more.
So fast forward to December 25th or December 24th, I think. It's Christmas, and on my wife's or on my girl, well, now my mother-in-law, but on her side of the family, they all got me socks for Christmas because they thought it was so funny.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a good one.
Yep. So,
thankfully nothing like that's ever happened to me. That's a good one.
It's one of those stories. Like even today, years later, they still talk about it.
That's
like, listen, I did what I had to do. The next step was to, was to back myself up to the sink and bidet myself off into the sink.
Probably not quite as convenient as a sock.
All right. So number five is the milk. The milk liquor.
It's my turn, number five.
No, you had the poop spoon.
I did?
Wait, no. Yeah, because I went first. Damn it, Robert. I'm number five.
I was the one that was glad there were numbers here, and I still fucked it up.
God, you can't even...
I suck.
Oh, my God. Yeah, see, he's laughing
right now. No scary call this week. I'm all disheveled.
He'll be back next week, I'm sure. As long as I keep the straight jacket on, he's fine. I miss him too. All right, so number five, which is my turn.
All right, your turn. Let's play
the milk liquor. I walked into our communal kitchen at work and saw a woman licking the outside rim of a bottle of milk. Bit weird, but okay. Then I saw her putting it back in the fridge, and it had someone else's name on it.
Freaks. That's gross. You know, there's people that I think probably everybody works with somebody like that. They either eat somebody else's food, just has no manners at all.
Number six, Bob K.
The unique coffee blend. Someone decided to clean the Keurig because no one could remember when it had been cleaned. When they took it apart, they found a dead cockroach between the area of the K-cup and the spot where the brewed coffee came out.
Oh, no.
La Cucaracha blend.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That is gross.
We have a Keurig at work that I use on a daily basis, and we make coffee for clients all the time in it. I'm not going to lie. After I read this, I went to work. Well, I should say I was at work when I read this, and I immediately went and pulled that part out of the Keurig and went and cleaned it just to be safe.
Yeah, you got to rinse that thing out. That's gross.
That is pretty gross. So that's not anything that somebody did, but...
No, that's still pretty gross, though.
Yeah, can you imagine? So you've been drinking coffee and then find out that it's been filtered through a cockroach. That's pretty gross.
It's fine. It's one of the things that's not going to kill you. And, and maybe it boosts your immune system a little bit every time you do it. So
it's protein. It's
protein.
Yeah, it's good for you. There's places in the world where people eat bugs.
Number seven, cold urine. And you had to go to the bathroom, so it's perfect.
So this one's called the cold urine. A coworker kept her urine in the freezer, as we all do, inside a lunch bag in case of random drug tests. She confided in me she did that. I didn't believe her, and she showed me. I have never put anything in that freezer since.
No.
That's disgusting. So she had a lunch bag with urine, but it's in the freezer. What if there's a drug test, they take the temperature. I've had to take drug tests just to get jobs before, and there's a temperature reader on there.
I don't know.
Not only was she stupid, but she...
It's better than keeping it in a jug in there when you've got the cap liquor coming around.
Well, that's true. There's a jug of urine sitting in my desk.
I'm licking it, putting it back, and it's got my name on it.
Oh, man.
Number eight, the man with the chicken fingers had a coworker at an old job who would bring in a rotisserie chicken on Monday and then eat from it all week, putting its increasingly picked over carcass back in the fridge every night. I like that they said carcass. It'd be like my grandmother. She would say, she'd call it the bird. So she pick from the bird. He would lick his fingers and get chicken grease all over the keyboard he shared with another person who came in for the next shift. He would often toss the chicken bones over other coworkers, aiming for the communal trash can.
This is a guy who just doesn't give a fuck. No. You know, we were, again, you know, work conversation. We were talking about people who just come in who just don't give a shit. They wake up in the morning, they pick up whatever clothes just happen to be lying on the ground. Doesn't matter if it matches, if they're clean, if they're ripped, or anything like that. And just say, all right, I'm going to start my day and go out into public looking like this. And I can imagine this guy as being one of those guys. That's pretty gross. So, number nine, the sneeze spray. One of my bosses never covers his mouth when he sneezes. He makes it a point to sneeze so loudly that the whole office can hear his wet sneezes too. We work in a beautiful office with floor-to-ceiling windows that bathe the place in light. He sneezed one afternoon and I saw the backlit spray project itself 2 meters across the room and just kind of waft toward a colleague who, and it, by the way, it says towards.
I never know the right. I think I said towards.
It's toward. Toward a colleague.
Whatever.
I don't know. But it wafted. So this guy's fucking spray wafted toward a colleague who sat up and looked around all puzzled because he'd suddenly felt something warm and wet. I've been sneezed on before too. I didn't hear it because of my noise blocking earphones, but I smelled it because I was suddenly engulfed in a cloud of what smelled like spit.
How do you know that? I mean, what is it? What is it going to smell like? It's not like a cough or stink breath. I mean, can a sneeze smell?
I mean, I guess it smells like this bad breath, maybe.
I guess.
I mean, I don't know. That's still pretty gross, though.
Yeah.
I'm a big supporter of, you know, sneezing the crease of your arm so that way you don't get it all over somebody else. But I can just see that just wafting into the air, backlit by the sunshine coming in through the windows behind it. And you just see this plume of spit just directly at a coworker. Like that's pretty gross.
Well, I'm always telling that to my son who's 7. You know, I always tell him elbow when I see him getting ready to sneeze, so you bury it in there. But sometimes he forgets, and I don't do it as often as I should, but I really got to wipe his iPad down a lot, because sometimes he's sitting there, you know, watching something and he just forgets and he just sneezes on it and keeps watching.
No, my kid's iPads look like the guy who eats chicken grease and doesn't wash his hands. They're pretty gross. I'm not going to lie. I do clean their iPads pretty frequently because they get pretty bad. This guy's a grown man, though. He's a supervisor or a manager of some sort. Like, how can you be an adult and not know just to cover your fucking mouth? Like, even if you want to do it in your hand, which is still gross to me, at least it's not spraying across the room at somebody. But
and if you do it in your hand, it's got to be the hand you don't shake hands with. So use your left and then still wash it. But, you know, don't sneeze in your hand and then go shake hands.
How you doing beer-wise?
I cracked into my third one, but I've got an Aces High, which is an American Pale Ale from a local brewery.
Oh.
Which is the Bad Wolf Brewing Company in Manassas, Virginia. Bad Wolf, I've had this before, so yeah. I checked in again. But
oldie but goodie.
It's good. I like it. Number 10, the Phantom Pooper. In my previous firm, we had what was known as the Phantom Pooper. Basically, there were multiple incidents where someone had stopped and done a poo in the middle of the floor just outside of the reception area. After one particular bad incident, it was even smeared onto the walls. Because of the layout of the office, no one saw when it happened, so they were never caught. No one knows if it was a disgruntled client or someone who worked there.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah, that's gross. I'm happy to say I've never experienced that. A couple of these other ones I can see, but luckily nobody that's a Phantom Pooper. Although Melissa swears up and down that there's, you know, I was telling her about this list and she said, oh, you remember that time you worked? There's somebody that, you know, you guys had to go in there and go to the bathroom and clean it up, and or at least, you know, you went in there to look at it and laugh, and I don't remember anything. So maybe there was. I've pushed it out of my memory.
Poop is gross. Poop is gross. That's why I don't even touch mine.
I work with awesome people. Thankfully, nobody's on this list.
I do too, but the problem is I don't have a building that's on lockdown. The general public has access to my building. So it always leaves a little bit up for, there's always an opportunity for some interesting things. So, but that's still, it's funny because a guy literally obviously went out of his way to poop in the middle of this office so people would find it. But all right, number 11 is the food detective. This girl at my job digs in the trash, and if she finds something edible, it goes into her mouth. I'd like to know where this person works, because I've seen the trash at my office and there's nothing you want in there. There's nothing you want to eat in there. I don't even know what to say about that. That's just gross. Like, you need to find another place to work.
another fast food worker or someplace. I don't know. I mean, who's throwing
it's got to be some. I would think it's got to be something related restaurant. To food service, right? Yeah. Yeah. But even then, I mean, you know, you can find something that hasn't been in the trash. Even if it's somebody's leftovers, like if it's a restaurant, like a customer left, left some leftovers.
You don't eat
that's
that.
Even pretty gross. Well, it's not something I would do. It's better than the trash, though.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I blow my nose and throw the Kleenex in that same trash. Like, it's pretty gross.
Nasty.
That guy who jerks off into his glass case, maybe he empties it out there.
Not easily. Number 12, the irresponsible rebel. One time, one of our old bosses banned us from eating and drinking in the work area and said that the break room was the appropriate place to eat or drink. We were only allowed water at our desks, but people would hide their snacks in the drawer and eat it when the boss wasn't around. One day, I ran out of plastic pockets and went out on the hunt for them in other people's drawers rather than go to the stationery cabinet. OMG, this guy who had left weeks ago had left his half-eaten chicken sandwich in his drawer, and it was just the nastiest thing ever. It smelled so bad, and it had maggots all over it. I don't even know how no one around his work area or anyone who walked past didn't notice. I just closed the drawer and pretended I never saw it.
Yeah, he lost me at maggots. I'm not going to lie. Like, they're probably, you know, on the list of bugs that are disgusting, they're pretty high up there. I mean, they're...
Yeah.
I remember as a kid one time, I found a bunch in like a sandbox or something like that. So I put some in one of those like little things that you use to catch butterflies and had it in my bedroom. And my mom, yeah, elderly listener walks into the room and sees that I have some pet maggots in my room. And
well, as kids, we had a thing with the mealworms. I mean, isn't that the same thing? Or I had to make a little maze out of wood and put the plastic on the top so I could see them. I don't know how long I had them, but I remember being distraught when they were done. And they smelled funny, but...
Yeah, but those are at least worms. I don't know. Maggot? Like, it just the word sounds bad. They're gross creatures. I mean, they go... They're attracted to shit and garbage and stuff like that. We had some in my garbage can... our bin last week. What I do, I sprayed it out with soapy water and got them the fuck out of there. Like, I mean,
I've never heard anybody go, "Hey, mealworm." I've heard you see on movie people go, "Hey, maggot," you know, to be a, just, you know, some sort of
that guy's a fucking mealworm. Let me tell you,
yeah. So well,
this one's probably my. I'm glad I got this one. This one's probably my favorite one so far. Hold on, let me drink some beer real quick.
Scary caller, like, I really miss him. I think I said that earlier.
Poor guy. We should have him on the show.
If we can narrow it down to who it is, we'll get him on here at some point. So,
all right, number 13, the Hover Duke.
This is one of my favorites.
We had a female employee who routinely hovered over the toilet instead of sitting on it or using the provided tissue seat covers. Not content to just hover pee, she upped her game one day to hover duking. I know this so because gross. There would be full human turds on the seat where there were no full human turds before. So she would shit on the seat and just apparently leave it there.
Just leave it there.
Yeah. I mean, just, I don't know. Like, my turds are bigger than yours. Maybe she was like, you know, some sort of contest. It took several reports over a series of days for them to finally gather the nerve to sit her down and say,
"Quit,
ma'am, would you please stop pooping on the toilet seats or at least
clean it up. Bowl, in the bowl." Yeah.
You think this would improve the situation, but it did not. It made it worse. To have to be the manager to have that conversation with her, by the way. She started.
No, the conversation is you're fired.
Yeah, but you.
Maybe I'm a jerk.
Somebody claims disability and then you're getting sued.
I got a medical condition. I can't sit on this seat.
It's part of her religion, this shit on the toilet seats.
Take the colander off your head, poop through it.
So you're like, okay, so the manager has a conversation with her in which they tell her to stop shitting on the toilet seats. Perfect. She started, but it that's not, it only escalated the situation. She started mash wiping the turds into the toilet seat instead of just rolling them into the bowl. So instead of just, you know, just moving them along because they are round by nature to flop into the bowl, she started pushing down and wiping them. This ended up leaving a short, thin, frosting coat over the whole seat of smeared poop. But it got on her hands. She did not appear to notice. So it got on the doors and sinks and then out into the office area. So shit everywhere. This is shit everywhere. Every day, I scream begged them to get her to stop cleaning it up. So at this point, Aaron Page, who submitted this, would rather have her just left the turd sitting on the toilet than to try to clean it up, because obviously she wasn't competent enough to do that. They confessed that they thought it must be some sort of medical issue, and they didn't want to embarrass her further. This was a major metropolitan newspaper, and it took them an entire summer to, pardon me, get their shit together.
There's nobody at the paper wear socks.
There are no words. There are no words. That's why I stopped having newspapers delivered to my house, because I was afraid somebody had shit on them.
The stuff you touch, you know, all day, every day, it's just, you know.
Unless you own a bidet.
Which the Bobs do.
Even if you do, you should probably wash your hands after you're done. Like, I have a bidet, so at no point do I put my hands anywhere in that area. I still wash my hands, though. Like, I feel like I just need to do that.
Yeah, it's a requirement. You've been in the bathroom.
That's why I never eat the peanuts at bars, too, in the dish, because there's literally shit on them.
That's all right. It's inside the shell. Number 14.
Still, though.
It says bogey, but I think they mean boogie. I used to work as a receptionist. There was one guy who would constantly pick his nose and wipe it under the table. I still have nightmares.
Yeah, that's gross. If you work in an office, there's probably Kleenex somewhere.
Probably. And you know what we haven't done? We haven't been rating these.
They're all fucking gross.
They're all gross. You can tell by our reactions whether they're gross or not.
Yeah, I mean, you just decide for yourselves, listeners of the Two Bobs. Number 15 is the booger wall. One of the higher-ups at a company I used to work at had a booger wall. Every time he would pick his nose, he would flick it or wipe what he found. So he had a wall that was dedicated to all of his boogers. And he was a higher-up. This company felt that he deserved an elevated position, and he flicked and wiped his boogers on the wall.
Ow.
I feel like I am so thankful that I have a company, that I work for a company that has some sort of standards as to who they put in elevated positions. I'm in an elevated position, and I feel that this is not something I would do. So
that's why they make carpet.
Let's see what
You don't need to put it on the wall. You got carpet everywhere.
It's Kleenex. There's Kleenex in buildings. See, like, I don't understand. I have Kleenex on my desk. If I have something going on there, I take the Kleenex.
Yeah, Kleenex, you blow it, you throw it away.
It's disgusting, though.
Man. Don't wipe it anywhere. Number 16.
Last but not least,
the windowsill surprise. At my old office, they had major issues getting people to clean up after themselves in the ladies' toilet. Nothing extreme, but the office manager was kind of anal about it and was always sending out mass emails complaining that someone left the loo roll on the floor or something like that. Anyway, someone apparently decided that if she was going to complain, they'd give her something to complain about. They pooped in a plastic carrier bag and left it on the windowsill. Obviously, everyone is horrified. More mass emails. No one confesses. The next week, they pooped in a mug from the kitchen and left it on the windowsill. These weren't solid either. They were mushy.
Oh, man. So somebody diarrhea'd.
Yeah. Had the ballerina.
Somebody soft-served into a mug.
No one ever confessed, and we were left forever with the mystery of who decided to leave their poo on the windowsill.
That's disgusting.
That is good. That's a good ending.
It is, but I do have one that I'd like to share with you.
I've got two examples as well.
All right, I can come up with another one while you're talking. No problem. I have plenty. Like I said, we could have a whole episode just really just dedicated to discussing shit we witness while working and in our lives, right? So again, without being specific as to where this was, I had a job in which a customer walked into the building, said, "I need to use the restroom." Actually, I think she specifically said, I need to use the bathroom. I have to pee. And then the gentleman who worked there who said, "Hold on 1 second. I'm just finishing up with something." Then the customer said, "Never mind. It's too late." And then walked out. and there was a puddle of piss in the middle of the building.
If only there was an on-demand truck that you could order that would just show up.
If she could have gotten a poober, I'm sure she would have.
She would have arranged to have it there.
I will say I was in the building and watched this entire thing play out. She didn't look like the type of person who had it in her to go to a website and order a poop truck. Just so she didn't last more than maybe 10 seconds. So she definitely wouldn't have been able to wait for a pooper.
She was already going as she came in the door. She was just looking for the formality to be able to get it done without, you know, disgracing everybody. But it was too late. I've got one here. So somebody that I used to work with, and on their last day, they left. And a couple of weeks go by, and we're, you know, interviewing to hire somebody else. And then we finally find somebody to hire, and we're getting his desk ready, you know, for this new person. We're cleaning it up, open the drawer, and it's not quite filled, but it's pretty close with fingernails.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He, you know, he didn't have any clippers or anything, so he's always just peeling his fingernails. And rather than put them in the trash can, which was right under his desk, into the drawer they went.
So here he had like a collection.
A collection of fingernails inside the drawer. And fingernails, you know, let's be honest here, they're not really the grossest thing. I mean, if you're going to have poop smeared on a toilet seat, that's absolutely disgusting. But fingernails are so like nothing that they're not really disgusting. But when you've got a drawer
that will...
that's got... That's
it's
full
power
of fingernails.
In numbers,
that's
right?
That's fucking gross.
It's like an ant. You see one ant crawling on the ground, you're like, okay, there's an ant. Yeah. You see a million ants crawling on the ground, that's pretty gross, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Full of fingernails.
Yeah, that's gross. That's really gross. Yeah, so one time we had somebody walk into the building in which I was working and asked to use the restroom. No problem. So we let him into the restroom. A couple minutes later, he comes out, walks straight out of the building. Doesn't say anything. Doesn't do any business. Well, no pun intended.
Doesn't do anything involving
the business I was working for. Just walks straight out of the building. I proceed to walk down the hallway toward the restroom, and I notice something that smells really bad. And I go into the restroom, which the door was cracked open. It was a single person restroom. And there is just shit everywhere. There's shit everywhere. There's shit on the floor. There's shit on the walls. It's covering the toilet. The toilet was beyond plugged up. Like it just, I shut the door. I put a sign on. I went to my office, pulled up Microsoft Word, made a sign that said, do not go in there. And we immediately called. Luckily, we have resources. Immediately called maintenance to have them come out and fix the issue. But it was just this guy just blew, and I don't know. Maybe he had a medical issue, but it was just such a disgusting scene. I just don't even know what to say about it. Like, it was disturbing.
That's gross. So you, like you said earlier, you work with the public, so you're exposing yourself a little bit more than I am. So
yeah,
my only other story, what actually happened to be in a restroom in the building that I worked at, was when you go inside there, you're very careful about what touches anything. You know, I think we mentioned earlier, you don't really bring any coffee mugs in there. You're not bringing anything that you're eventually going to ingest. Well, I've been in the bathroom where I see you're washing your hands and there's a stalls behind you. And I look and I see there's a guy in there who's going to the bathroom. It's obvious from the sounds and everything else that's going on that he's going to the bathroom. But he's not only just got his pants down around his ankles, but his entire clothes are off and they're laying there piled up on the floor of the bathroom. Now, there's hooks in there. You can hang up your pants. I've had to change. I've had to do these things in a public bathroom. You hang it up. You don't just take them off and leave them on the ground. It's touched the ground. At some point, you are going to have to touch it again.
Yeah, that's...
One, taking your clothes off completely to go to the bathroom is bad. But two, leaving everything on the ground. I mean, there was pants there piled up on the ground. There's underwear there on the ground. It was everything. He completely taken everything. I don't know if his shirt was down there. I didn't linger long enough to see that, but...
That's really, really gross. Especially because, I don't know, men's room floors, Like, I feel like there's always piss on them.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're
splatter.
This, it doesn't matter where it is or anything like that. I mean, there's just, it's wet everywhere. You stand up to you go into a stall, the ground is wet. Like, people piss all over the floor. And this guy, oh, man.
If anybody's got any gross stories about their workplace or their office, whether it's current, you know, be as vague as you want, but let us know. Hello@thetwobobs.com, on Twitter @twobobspodcast, or we also have a phone number.
Yeah, I noticed that you had a phone number.
We do. That is 58. We do. That is we do. That is 530-882-BOBS. Again, that's 530-882-2627. Bob K.
Bob K.
Rob likes sausages. So, yeah, so we do have a crazy news story this week. And this is an article we found on Thrillist. Some jerk stole a mummified human toe that was used for making cocktails. And this place is pissed off about it.
They're pissed off about it. And I had to look and see exactly where it was. But it's in Dawson City, Yukon, which is in Canada. So our neighbors to the north. But they've got a drink. It's called the Sour Toe Cocktail, and it's a drink served at the local joint, the Downtown Hotel. And the important ingredient of this is you get a shot of whiskey, but what gets dropped into the whiskey in front of you is a mummified toe. As you can imagine, drinking...
Why?
Okay, well, I guess that's part of the fun. So when you drink this whiskey here, you take the shot of the whiskey, and the only way that you can say that you actually had the Sour Toe whiskey is for the toe to touch your lips, okay? So it's not like you can just, you know, just drop it in there and you're going to drink it real quick and then put it away. The toe actually has to touch it, and the article has a picture of the toe, but earlier this month, that toe went missing.
Yeah, the article says there's a special place in hell for people who screw with other people's adult beverages, and this is no exception to that.
The famous Sour Toe Cocktail at the Downtown Hotel. This is a must-do in Dawson City. However, there was a bit of a misbehaving individual here this week who stole the toe. Tell me, Terry, what fine could they be facing?
If you look at this guy, he's almost like an old pirate.
That toe in gross revenues on a one-year period is $80,000. So once the RCMP catch up with this guy... That's grand theft. That's a felony.
That is a felony, and they are still investigating. So anyone that has information, ask to contact the RCMP. I do want to know, are there spare toes?
We have other toes. He stole our best one.
Our best toe. Everybody's got 10 toes, right?
Of course, you are the toe master, the best man here. Why don't you leave us with the toe prologue?
Okay. Be warned. The toe cannot enter the mouth. Or be bitten, chewed, or God forbid, swallowed, or it's a $2,500 fine. And so, in light of the above, you can drink it fast. You can drink it slow, but your lips must touch this gnarly toe. Just your lips. No teeth, no tongue, no tonsils. And I drop it in the glass, and it's up to them.
So it's pretty gross. So it's just, I mean...
He's the toe captain, it says.
He's the toe captain. You know, if you think of an old pirate, you know, only without the pirate hat on there, you know, he's got the big beard and he's kind of got the arg look to his face. So he's really into the bit. But yeah, evidently the toe's missing. And like you said, they have other toes, and I don't want to know where these toes come from, but evidently a couple years ago, the toe was missing again, but it's because somebody came in and when he drank it, he actually just put the whole thing back and he swallowed the toe.
Oh, that would be my worst nightmare, to swallow a human toe.
No, he did it on purpose. And he's, you know, the lore says, the story goes that he put $500 down and said, hey, you know, this is for your toe. And he left. So they never found him. You know, he never got the toe back. They don't want it back after it gone through his whole body. But yeah, he basically ate the mummified toe, and they use specifically the big toe because it's less likely to be swallowed.
Yeah, but it's most likely to be fucking choked on. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's why they do it. That's why they use the big toe, because it's less likely for someone to swallow it by accident. And it touches your lip, you know, and you go. The toe was actually found.
It's a sweet reunion for the Sourdough Cocktail Club. This past weekend, a Sourdough Saloon patron stole the key ingredient, a mummified human toe, of the bar's signature cocktail, the Sourdough.
He's probably drunk.
The drink reportedly dates back to the 20s when Frostbite took a bootlegger's toe and he kept it in alcohol. The saloon said it would pursue charges unless the toe was returned safely. Well, on Thursday, June 22nd, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police announced, quote, the Dawson City Sour Toe has been returned. Mounties in Dawson City, Yukon, where the bar is located, said they received a phone call from the alleged suspect who said he'd mailed it back to the bar. When authorities opened the package, both the toe and an apology letter were inside. Yukon News reported the general manager of the hotel where the bar is located said of the whole incident, quote, who hasn't had a drunken moment in Dawson? For United News International, I'm Kara Brigaldwell.
Can you imagine you get home and you got a toe in your...
So I just for the record, I have not had a drunken moment in Dawson. The problem is if that's stolen, I mean, that has to be valuable. I mean, how... It can't be easy to find a human toe that, you know, to mummify and use in your beverages, right?
Cisco is not delivering toes with your alcohol purchases. No.
Now, would you ever drink this?
In my current state of mind, yes, I would.
I was just thinking the same thing. I would.
Three beers in,
right?
Yes, I would go ahead and have it. I would probably try it. I mean, it's mummified, right? So it's not like it's, you know, it's not like it's a bloody toe with, you know, I don't know. It's pretty gross. I think this will be part of the show art this week with the big old toe on there. Part of me says, you know, here in my big macho self, my tough guy self right now, that I would try it. But I think at the end of the day, you know, it might take a little bit of persuading.
Probably.
I mean, it's a body part. It's touching your lip. It's a dead body part that's mummified and touching you.
It's true.
Which, you know, I mean, is it really any different than ice? I mean, can you close your eyes and maybe do it where you touch it for a second? But I don't know. I think you kind of want to see it and see that it actually happens.
It's still a toe. I don't know.
I don't know. That's what they do in Canada.
I'll let you do it. Canadians are weird.
And I'll let you hold my phone while you take the picture of me drinking this toe drink.
Canadians are weird, and that's why their faces separate at the mouth from the top of the head from the bottom.
I just South Park.
Yeah, it's a South Park reference if you don't know. So, well, Robert, I gotta say, I think we should probably call it a quit for the quits for the day.
Yes, I think so. That's the episode 25 of the Two Bobs Podcast.
Well, you know, if you if you're listening to this before the 4th, have a happy Independence Day. If you're listening to it after the 4th, I hope you had a safe and happy Independence Day. But regardless,
you have all 10 of your fingers.
Regardless, I hope you have all your fingers and toes, and we'll see you again next week.
All right, bye-bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.